Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, December 3, 2024. Joel.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3. We're all the way to the last verse, 21, unless you guys can find 22. That's it. And then it's Zechariah. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA, the freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, some of you know, maybe some of you do not know, my soulmate almost went to heaven without me, and that would have pissed me off. She has been having chest pains and pressure on her chest for about a month. But she never complains. And she's got about a million things on her plate, but she does them all with the greatest mental attitude. But it's been getting worse, and she didn't want to miss communion service Sunday, so she was here Sunday. And then when I got up Monday, first thing I did was I asked her, how'd you do last night? Because she'd been having a lot of trouble at night. She goes, it was really bad last night. I almost woke you up and said, let's go to the hospital. I said, well, get ready, because we're going to the hospital. And I have a best cardiologist in Las Vegas, Dr. Charles Ruggieroli. And this guy, he is a believer in Jesus Christ. And he gave me his personal cell phone number. And he said, now, Pastor Olson, if there's any time you are just got a critical situation going on with you, you call me on my cell phone and you can get right to me and I'll talk to you. And I said, well, thank you. Well, I've never used it. But I used it because of Deb. And so I called. He answered the phone. I said, Doc, this is Pastor Olson. I know you gave me that number, your cell phone number, if I had any serious issue. And I said, I don't. But Debbie, my wife, does. And so I said, I want you to talk to her. And he talked to us a little bit, and he says, you get to the hospital right now. And he said, what's the closest hospital to you? We said, Centennial Hills. He says, you get there now. Well, I found out that the Monday after Thanksgiving is the worst time to go to emergency, because there's nothing that's emergency about that. That place was packed. And all these people ahead of Deb and taking him in one at a time and doing this and that. And so we're sitting there for quite some time. They finally took her in and did an EKG, and she flunked that. And we're sitting out in the waiting room, and who walks in? Dr. Ruggieroli. Walked in, sat down, talking to Debbie again. Of course, Deb, she keeps facts on everything. I mean, we play Wordle. She keeps a notebook on Wordle. Nobody does that. And how many times it took to get the word, and what was our starting word? I mean, so she pulled out this paper and showed her blood pressure all during the night and heart rate all during the night, heart rate around 100, over 100. Blood pressure was way up high. He says, okay. And he goes in to the people who do blood work and EKGs and stuff like that. And he says, okay, I'm Dr. Charles Ruggieroli, cardiologist. There's a lady out here, Deborah Olson. I saw the EKG. They put it up on the internet. He says, she's got something going on. I want you to do the blood work as soon as possible, and you're going to check for this and this and this, and ASAP. They took the blood, and in a few minutes, here comes a guy with a wheelchair out. And says, he had a big smile on his face. Deborah Olson, yes, you've been admitted. Come on back. And Dr. Ruggieroli nailed it. He said, looking at the EKG, he said, I think I know specifically the artery that is blocked. And he said, they'll have to go in and check. And he says, hopefully they'll be able to get a stent in there. If they can't, they have to move you to another hospital and do bypass surgery. So he said, and he says, I'll be back and see you again. And I'll call you and see you and make sure. Well, she went in this morning, and they got up, and the artery is one of the largest arteries to your heart, and it was 95% blocked. Fortunately, there was just enough room to get a stent in there, open it up. One of the doctors, there was a whole team of doctors, one of the doctors told Debbie afterward, he says, you, of course they don't have any Bible doctrine, you're a very lucky girl. And Debbie goes, I feel better already. You call me a girl. I mean, you know, you are a very lucky lady. That artery is called the widowmaker. When that's clogged, you're dead. That's it. And he said, that's the widowmaker artery that was clogged 95%. So he says, you are a very lucky lady. She calls me. Well, I didn't tell him, you're wrong. I'm a very blessed lady. And God has a plan, and his plan's always perfect. And God has the same plan for each one of you, and that plan is always, always perfect. He never makes a bad decision. Never. And you should understand that. God's plan. He is the sovereign God of the universe. He's the quarterback. He calls the plays. You don't call the plays. Some of you try to. God calls the plays. He's the potter, we're the clay. And his decisions are perfect. His plans are perfect. And he has a perfect plan for Deb. And she understood. We were talking about that. And I was there Monday. And when she was given, oh, they took her back. She didn't have a room yet. She hadn't been given a room. And then she calls me after I got home. And the hard part is I get to fix myself dinner. That sucks, let me tell you, right there. And so I'm trying to get some things. I found a piece of chicken in the refrigerator, and that came out on the bone, you know. And she calls and said, I've been given a room. Intermediary care. Not not intensive care. Intensive care, you get practically one nurse for every room, but this is intermediary care, and that's up above. So I said, okay, she says, here's my number. So I said, all right, I'll finish this chicken and be over. And she said, well, they told me tomorrow morning. Well, they said probably sometime after 11. So I was there, of course. Here's Deb. Could you bring a book that I can read? If I had all the things she had gone through, the last thing I want to do is read a damn book, I tell you. But she wanted a book. You had a book I can read. Yeah, bring this book. And then I need lip salve. I need that. Bring that. Okay. Well, we got there and gave her all those things. And then I said, well, I need to get back to the house. There's a couple of things I have to do. And I got to figure out what I'm going to eat for dinner at the church, and I think there's one more piece of chicken in there, and that'll work. And so she said, I'll call you when they take me back. Now, when I was there in the morning, the nurses came in and they said, it'll probably be sometime between 11 and 1. Probably sometime between 11 and 1. Well, 11 and 1 came and went. And I'm over here, and I'm going, oh, she didn't call. And she's been calling. She didn't call. 11 and 1 come and gone. And I didn't get a call till about 5. I'm here at the church studying, trying to study. It's hard to concentrate, trying to study. And finally, the phone rings. Everybody was calling me except for Deb. Well, she called and she goes, okay, it's all done. All done? You said you were gonna let me know when you went in. And she said, well, it happened so fast I didn't have a chance to call anybody. I said, okay. Well, you're not gonna believe this when I tell you this. And then she started telling me about the artery is the widow maker. I said, I've heard the term widow maker. That's not good. Widowmaker, and it's 95% blocked, but they were able to get a stent in there. I go, oh. Now, if I'd have known it was the widowmaker before you went in there, I would have shit my pants, you know. And so she's not, she's going to be there for a while. There's things they have to watch with this stent because of the artery and as big as it is. And I guess there's sometimes problems with the stent and so forth. And she also is not allowed to move. She can't move. She has to lay flat on her back for 5 hours and not move. I said, well, how do you get up and pee? She says, I can't. I said, she says, I'll just pee in the bed. I said, well, I would, you can get a catheter. Oh, she goes, oh, that, I don't know about a catheter. I said, you just had a stent put in the Widowmaker, and now you're, oh, I worried about a catheter going in. I said, hell, when they did all my aneurysms, they gave me a catheter, no big deal. She said, well, you have a bigger deal that they put the catheter up. Yeah. Anyway, there were a lot of you who knew, and you were praying, and we knew it. And your prayers, they are, you guys are the greatest prayer warriors. And I believe prayer is absolutely powerful and effective and accomplishes much when you have a spiritually mature believers offering those prayers. So Debbie says thank you. I say thank you. And she's got other people working with the kids for the Christmas play for right now. But she is a God's plan for her life was to stick around, because otherwise I would have had to commit a sin and jump off Hoover Dam, commit suicide. You see, my wife only does about a million things. And then she said, but you do the important thing. I said, yeah, but I just sit on my ass all the time back there, study, 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 and then get up and teach. She says, yeah, but it's what you teach. Now, some of you are saying, when are you going to teach? That's what I want. Good question. I think that's good enough. Amen. Well, we're in the final stretch of the book of Joel. And we've already studied that in verses 9 and 10, we had the announcement of Armageddon. In verses 11 and 12, we had the assembly for Armageddon. In verses 13 to 15, we had the awesomeness of Armageddon. And then in verses 16 and 17, we have the second advent of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is amazing. And the Lord will roar like a lion, the Lion of Judah. That is the Lord Jesus Christ from Zion. And he will thunder from Jerusalem. And the heavens, the stellar heavens, and the earth will shake and quake. But the Lord, Jehovah, Jesus Christ, the shelter from danger for his people, and the means of protection for the sons of Israel, the remnant of Jewish believers. Then you will realize and know that I am the Lord your God, the one who keeps on dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then Jerusalem will be holy, and foreign aggressors will never, never invade her again. Then verse 18, the great economic prosperity in the millennial kingdom. And it will come about in that day, the day of Messiah's reign on the earth, the 1,000-year millennial kingdom, that the mountains will keep on dripping new wine and the hills will keep on flowing with milk, and all of the riverbeds of Judah will keep on flowing with water, and a spring will keep on going out from the house of the Lord, and it will keep on irrigating, watering the valley of the acacias. And then verse 19, vengeance on other nations, specifically Egypt and Edom. Egypt will become a devastation, a waste, and Edom will become a desolate desert because of the violence done to the sons of Judah, in whose land they have shed innocent blood. And then, verse 20, special blessings on Israel and the Jewish people, but Judah will be inhabited forever in Jerusalem for all generations, all future ages. All right. Well, we finished the exegesis of verse 20. Of course, we had our little Thanksgiving special last week. Verse 20, we summarized at verse 20, and with 10 points. Point 1 was, prior to the second advent of Jesus Christ, Israel will recognize Jesus Christ as her Messiah, and many Jews will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. And we saw that great chapter, Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1 to chapter 13, verse 1. And we will be studying when we get to Zechariah, but you know me, by the time we get to chapter 12 and 13, why, you'll probably mostly be in heaven already, see? Well, maybe not, maybe just me. Point 2, at the second advent, the Lord Jesus Christ will bring about a spiritual reunion of the 12 tribes of Israel from among the nations of the world. And they will be one nation back in the land, Ezekiel 37:15-28. And then point 3, there are 4 groups of people who will enter into the millennial kingdom. 3 groups will enter in resurrection bodies. 1 group will enter in their physical body. Those who enter in their resurrection bodies will be Old Testament saints, the church, the body of Christ, which is now the bride of Christ in heaven, the royal family of God, tribulational believers who were martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ. And then the believers who survived the tribulation will enter the millennial kingdom in their physical bodies, and they will proceed to procreate and repopulate the earth. Point 4, only believers will enter into the millennial kingdom. Following the second advent, the Lord Jesus Christ will judge the nations, separating believers from unbelievers. He will put the believers, the sheep, on his right hand. He will give them the kingdom prepared before the foundation of the world, Matthew 25:31-34. The unbelievers are the goats, and they will be put on his left hand, and their destiny will be the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels, Matthew 25:41. Point 5, those entering the kingdom in their physical bodies who are blind and lame and deaf and dumb will be immediately healed, Isaiah 35:5-6. 6, most of those who will enter the millennial kingdom in their physical bodies will be blessed with longevity of life because they will be free from illness. No illness. Isaiah 33:24, Jeremiah 33:6. 7, if one dies at 100 years of age, It will be as if he had died in childhood, Isaiah 65, verse 20. 8, those children who are born to these believers in the millennial kingdom, they have to believe in Jesus Christ for salvation, just as their parents did before them. And the Bible tells us that some will, but unfortunately, many will not. Near the end of the point 9, near the end of the millennial kingdom, Satan, who has been imprisoned in the bottomless pit, will be set free. Point 10, he will then try to overthrow the Lord Jesus Christ and his rule on planet Earth through the unbelievers, all those children born in the millennium who did not believe in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. But he will fail miserably, totally, and completely. Revelation 27 and 9. Now there was one more point, 11. In the millennial kingdom, a new social order will emerge. In the millennial kingdom, a new social order will emerge. Jews and Gentiles alike will be able to build houses, plant fields, reap the increase of their labor, great economic prosperity, and with no fear of an enemy taking it away from them. There will be world peace in the millennial kingdom because the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, rules planet Earth. Isaiah 65. So turn over to Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65, verse 21. Isaiah 65, verse 21. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and then others live in them, take them from them, or plant and others eat it. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the works of their hands. They will not toil in vain or bear children doomed to misfortune. For they will be a people blessed by the Lord. Blessed by the Lord. They and their descendants with them. And before they call, I will answer. This is talking about prayer. Before they even call in prayer, I will answer. While they're still speaking, I will hear. Verse 25. The wolf and the lamb will feed together. Not each other. Feed together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox, but dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is in the great characteristics of the millennial kingdom in Isaiah 65. All right, now that brings us to verse 21. For I will avenge their blood that I have not avenged. I will avenge their blood that I have not avenged. That's the King James. We always start with that. We have the conjunction vav prefix to the PL perfect of naka, plus the noun dom, plus the objective negative lo, joined by a makef, to the PL perfect of naka repeated. So You twice here, but one with the negative low. The conjunction vav is the connective vav, correctly translated and. And then the verb naka. Looks like that. N-A-Q-A, olive. Naka. Now, first of all, point one, naka means to empty out. To empty out, to cleanse, to purge. To empty out, to cleanse, to purge. Two. Then it came to mean to avenge. Three, the Lord has promised to avenge Israel for the injustice suffered from the nations. That's what Israel is facing right now as we speak. From Hamas, from Hezbollah, from Iran. This is what they are facing right now. So the Lord has promised to avenge Israel for the injustice suffered from the nations. For the Bible teaches us, vengeance is mine, I will repay, declares the Lord. The PL stem is the intensive stem of the Hebrew. Five, the PL stem presents the intensity of the Lord's judgment on the nations for shedding the innocent blood of the Jews. The PL stem presents the intensity of the Lord's judgment on the nations for shedding the innocent blood of the Jews. Perfect tense is the prophetic perfect. And then dam, and that's dam is the Hebrew word for blood. D-A-M. Dam. Word for blood. And I will avenge their blood. And then we have the verb naka repeated, but this time with the objective negative low. So the corrected translation says, and I will avenge their blood, which I have not avenged. And I will avenge their blood, which I have not avenged, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion. This is the conjunction vav. Prefix to the tetragrammaton, plus the calactive participle of shakan, plus the preposition-based prefix to the noun tzion. Now, Brown, Driver, and Briggs, The Hebrew Lexicon, page 253, says that in Joel 4, Joel 3:21. There is no Joel 4. Joel 3:21, the conjunction vav introduces an appeal to a fact, confirmatory of some statement or promise. The statement or promise is the fact that God will avenge Israel for the shedding of their innocent blood at the hands of the nations. And therefore, when it's used that way, Brown, Driver, and Briggs, The Hebrew Lexicon, says it should be translated, it may be translated when or since or seeing or because or as truly as. That's how we're going to translate it. As truly as, and then the tetragrammaton. The holiest name for God in the Old Testament scriptures. YHWH. W.H. so holy that the Jews, Orthodox Jews, would not pronounce. You pronounce it be Yahweh. They saw that and always read Adonai. This is the Tetragrammaton. This is the word for Jehovah. We transliterated Jehovah, the Lord, and this is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the verb shakan. S-H-A-K-A-N. Not a very, there. Shakan. Shakan means to settle down. It means to remain. It means to abide. It means to dwell. It means to live. Cal active participle has linear action start. Keep on dwelling. Keep on living. Preposition base in Zion, Zion. And I will avenge their blood, which I have not avenged. As truly as the Lord Jesus Christ, keeps on dwelling in Zion. All right, ta-da, there's the exegesis. But we've just begun to fight. One, following his second advent to the earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, will dwell in Zion, and he will rule all the nations of the earth from Zion. Following his second advent to the earth, the Lord Jesus Christ will dwell in Zion, and he will rule all the nations of the earth from there. Now, we studied in the Messianic Psalms, we studied all, went through all the Messianic Psalms. Remember that? And we studied Psalm 2. Psalm 2. Psalm 2, verse 1. Why do the nations conspire? And why do the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against who? Against the Lord, God the Father, and against his anointed one, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So here are the nations and the peoples of the earth, the kings of the earth, the rulers gather together against the Lord God the Father, and against his anointed one, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And this is what these arrogant human beings say. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. You know, we went through that not too long ago when I was at Washington State University. Right about that time, it spread all over America. God is dead. You might remember that. God is dead. That's what they were saying on campus and all these things. But you know what? Right at that time, with that God is dead from all of the people who wanted to rebel totally against the authority of God or Christ or the Bible, right then came the greatest spiritual revival in America. A great spiritual revival. All over campuses and all over America, the grace gospel was given. Believers, well, individuals believed in Christ as their Savior. And they grew up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. It was absolutely amazing. Bethany Bible Church only had 10 adults. 10. We're getting about that here, too. 10 adults in the church. And the campus was turned upside down for Jesus Christ. And that church filled up with college students. Filled up with college students. In fact, it was so packed, there was no more room for them. Build a balcony. They filled up the balcony. Tore out a wall. They filled up the side room. And it was all college students. Spiritual revival. And there was a great Bible teacher there, Ron Breckel. And even the colonel told me when I went down to Breckel, he said, the pastor who's doing the best job in this country is Ron Breckel. I want you to go back there to him, and I want you to tell him, for me, I think he's doing the best job of any pastor in this nation. I said, yes, sir. Well, I did. Now, that's what the arrogant nations and people say. Let us break their chains. Who's chained? The Lord's chained. God the Father, the Anointed One, Jesus Christ chained. And throw off their fetters. Verse 4, the one enthroned in heaven laughs at them. He laughs at them. The Lord scoffs at them. And then he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Where? In Zion, my holy hill. He said, it's a done deal. Point 2, the Lord Jesus Christ will rule the world as the Son of David, seated on the throne of David. The Lord Jesus Christ will rule the world as the Son of David, seated on the throne of David. And turn over to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah 9. The sign of the Messiah. Verse 6. For to us a child is born, the true humanity of Jesus Christ, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God, the greatest miracle this world will ever know. That very first Christmas. To us a child is born, true humanity of Jesus Christ. To us a son is given, the eternal Son of God. Together, hypostatic union, undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonder Counselor, Mighty God, Deity of Jesus Christ, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, the world peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne. He will reign on David's throne. And over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of Jehovah Tsevaoth, that you have, might have Lord Almighty, that's literally the Lord of the armies. The zeal of the Lord of the armies will accomplish this. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. So where does he sit? He sits, reign on David's throne. Now turn over to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, let's start at verse 26. I mean, this is all having to do with Christmas. That one thing you see, when we have Thanksgiving, you know what's coming next. Christmas. So we've had Thanksgiving. You know Christmas is coming. It's just like in the spring. When your trees, the fruit trees especially, flowers come out on the tree, you know that's spring. And you know what follows spring? Summer. See, that's a deep point. Well, nobody's writing that down, huh? Verse 26, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting that might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." So the Lord Jesus Christ will rule the world as the Son of David, seated on the throne of David. So he will rule the world as the Son of David, seated on the throne of David. Point three. His reign on planet Earth will be characterized in a number of ways. It will be global. He will rule the entire Earth. Psalm 2, verses 6 and 8. His rule will be absolute in authority and power, for he will rule the nations with an iron scepter, Psalm 2, 9. His rule will be absolute in authority and power, for he will rule the nations with an iron scepter, Psalm 2, 9. 3, yet his rule will also be with compassion, perfect righteousness and justice. He will be infinitely fair with every person on planet Earth. Infinitely fair. Isaiah chapter 11. So turn back to Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11. One through five. His rule will also be with compassion, with perfect righteousness and justice. And perfect righteousness and justice means infinite virtue, infinite honor, infinitely fair. Isaiah 11, verse 1, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, the Messiah. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord, personal love for God the Father, and his personal love for God the Father motivates him to fulfill the incarnation plan of the Father. Operation Grace, the cross. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the destitute with righteousness, that means perfect, infinitely fair. With justice, he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and doctrine the sash around his waist. So his rule will also be with compassion, perfect righteousness and justice, and therefore infinitely fair. For there will be world peace. There will be world peace. There will be no armies. No army, navy, Marine Corps, Air Force, Coast Guard, no armies. World peace. Isaiah 2. So just go back a little bit to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. And we have the glory of the future millennial kingdom. This is what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the millennial kingdom, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hill, and all nations will stream to it. All nations, all over planet Earth. Many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways. In other words, they're going to come to have divine Bible conferences in Jerusalem. From all over the world are coming to Bible conferences. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. There will be world peace. Five, there will be great happiness. Great happiness. Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65. Again, we are in a passage on the characteristics of the millennial kingdom. Isaiah 65, verse 18. But be happy, plus H, and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight, and its people a joy, happiness. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. No more. There will be great happiness. So, point three again, his reign on planet Earth will be characterized in a number of ways. When we listed five of those. Point four. In the book of Joel, the prophet has graphically portrayed that Israel has in the past and will in the future face national judgment. Face national judgment and discipline for her apostasy and degeneracy. So in the book of Joel, the prophet has graphically portrayed that Israel has in the past and will in the future face national judgment and discipline for her apostasy and degeneracy. Five, through the five cycles of national discipline on Israel, she will become an astonishment to the nations of the world. Through the five cycles of national discipline on Israel, she will become an astonishment to the nations of the world. The nations of the world will stand in bewilderment at the unprecedented fall and calamities that will come upon her after reaching such heights of blessings before God. Point six, Israel did become a byword. A byword, suffering from the most cutting sarcasm that could befall any nation down through the centuries. Nation after nation has spewed forth blasphemies about Israel, which is simply horrific anti-Semitism. Seven. God will allow the Jew to become a proverb among the nations. He will allow the Jew to become a proverb among the nations. Eight, he will use Israel as a public example and an object lesson of how he, the Lord, will discipline and judge those who continue to be disobedient to his loving grace. He will use Israel as a public example and an object lesson of how he will discipline and judge those who continue to be disobedient to his loving grace. Nine, yet the day of the Lord will also be a time of great blessing for Israel. Now remember, day of the Lord, there are three parts to the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. When does it start? It starts with the 7-year tribulation period. When does that start? After the rapture. So part one of the day of the Lord is the tribulation. 7 years. Divided into two parts. In the last 3.5 years, the great tribulation. That's part one of the day of the Lord. Part two of the day of the Lord, second advent. Second advent of Jesus Christ to the earth. That's part two. Part three of the day of the Lord is the 1,000-year millennial kingdom. And in the passages where we have the phrase day of the Lord, sometimes it's looking at the tribulation period, sometimes it's looking at the second advent, sometimes it's looking at the 1,000-year millennial kingdom. Sometimes it looks at the whole thing, but context decides. So this is a very important phrase, the day of the Lord. But it doesn't start until the church age is over. And the church age ends with the rapture, the resurrection of the royal family of God. That has to happen first. So when is that going to take place? Oh, stand up and make a fool out of yourself. Nobody knows. Not even the idiots in California. They don't know. There are a lot of them there, but they're getting to be more idiots everywhere. I don't know how you can live in California. You know, if God took and tried to move me into California, I'd be like Jonah. Hey, let the damn fish
swallow me and take me, then. So, yet the day of the Lord will also be a time of great blessing for Israel. 10. This will become a reality when the Lord returns at the second advent and delivers the remnant of believers and brings them into his millennial kingdom. So point 9, yet the day of the Lord will also be a time of great blessing for Israel. And this will become a reality when the Lord returns at the second advent and delivers the remnant of believers and brings them into his millennial kingdom. All right. Now, I finished the exegesis, but I haven't finished pulling this all together. So, I'll get to come back next week and maybe we end Joel. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.